Good morning. Today's daf in Sotah's Mem. Thank the Massuth family of West Orange, New Jersey, for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do should be Lezecha Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avram. We are on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We are more than halfway down in the Amud and an assortment of halachas, most of them having to do with the Duchening, with Birchas Kohanim, and some of them having to do with Kriyas HaTorah. We are weaving in and out between these two topics, and so we are continuing the Gemara. And we're up to Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not terribly helpful because how many Amar Rabbi Tanchums are there on this Lamed Tes Amud Beis? The answer is a number. So we just finished the Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Ein Amaftir Rashar Lahaftir ben Navi Ashigal Sefer Torah. So in order to, we just did this yesterday, in order to start the Haftarah, so what do you have to do? You have to wait till Galila is over. Only when Galila is over, then and only then do you begin the Haftarah. Rashi brings down the reason why is because, I don't think I said over this Rashi yesterday, the reason why is because we want everyone to hear the Haftarah. And even the person that's doing Galila. So since we want everyone to hear Haftarah, so therefore we're going to wait, even for that one person. Most are self-evident. Anyway, we're continuing. We're Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Right, I paused here yesterday because I knew that this was going to require a little bit of setup. And I was done yesterday. So now that it's a fresh day, and you know I'm fully caffeinated. So let's begin. So let's go over the setup necessary. Back in the good old days, so shuls used to be out in the field. I know that sounds strange. In other words, but that was clearly the minhag back in the day. So so your shuls were out in the field. They had shuls as well. Meaning, again, it's kind of hard to say. You know, there was some 1800 years ago. But anyway, the shuls were out in the field. So. The biggest challenge when your shul is out in the field is what do you do with your Sefer Torah? So the answer is that you bring your Sefer Torah to shul, and then you bring it home, and it's guarded in somebody's house. But in other words, the Sefer Torah would basically make its way to shul, and then it would go ahead and it would leave the shul. So with that stated, in other words, if you can visualize that, it's going to be a little bit easier to understand the upcoming Gemara, and that is Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and Shlech Tzibur, Rashi Lav Shira Sateva. So we're talking about now stripping down the teva. Stripping down the teva, meaning what are we talking about over here, right? Without context, it's really hard to understand what the Gemara is talking about. But in other words, we're talking about where they had some sort of makeshift aron that they used out in the field. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to beautify it, right? Maybe as a function of Zekeh Levan Vehu, right? We have to glorify Hashem. We have to adorn HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to make our mitzvahs look nicer. So even though it's a shul in the field, and we're basically have a makeshift aron, but what we're going to do is that we're going to put, various curtains and whatever, nice beautifications of the aron. And so, but at the same time, however, we would strip it down. When would we strip it down? So, ein shlech tzibur v'shalav shir sateva, b'tzibur, mimnei kavod tzibur. So the, in other words, only after the Sefer Torah has been taken out, then and only then do you strip down the aron. But before that point in time, you're not going to do it. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and it's the Baruch Hashem. Let's say it's Achi Natel Sefer Torah Ushmul Amar Achi Yetzei. Okay, and now when do you exit that shul? So you have to wait until the Sefer Torah is removed. Now the truth of the matter is here. So we have two opinions. We have Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and we have Shmuel. According to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, so Achi Natel Sefer Torah. In other words, when the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Teva. Again, difficult Gemaras to understand without the context. But basically what's going to happen is that the Sefer Torah is now going to be taken out of the Aron in order to be taken to its protected home. Okay? In other words, whichever home is designated to go ahead and protect that Sefer Torah, it's going to be taken out from the makeshift Teva and taken to the protected home. So when can you leave shul? So according to Rav Yishuv ben Levi, only after the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron. And according to Shmuel, no, you have to wait more. According to Shmuel, you have to wait until it's actually taken out of the house. Then and only then can you exit the shul. V'lo pligi, but the Gemara says, really, the truth of the matter is, even though it sounds like we have two opinions over here, there really is no machlokas. Hadika pischa achrina, and hadaleka pischa achrina. And the Gemara over here makes a distinction in terms of whether or not there's another entrance or there's no other entrance. And Amar Abba Bar Ahini Azbar Li Achrei Hashem Alech Elokechem Teilechu. And just a pasuk to help us remember this halacha of Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. Second time in our Masechta we quoted this pasuk. But before I I hearken back to the early part of the Masechta to remind us where else we saw this pasuk, just a simple pshat in our Gemara, and that is as follows. If, let's say, there's only one egress in the shul, okay, so what does that mean? It means that eventually we're going to take the Sefer Torah out of the shul through that particular entrance, through the one entrance. Now, whose halacha do we invoke? The halacha of Shmuel, which is now you got to wait. You got to wait till the Sefer Torah leaves because we're all leaving the same entrance or the same exit. And now it's not kavodik for you to exit before the Sefer Torah. Let the Sefer Torah out first. Then and only then do you exit that exit. That would be the halacha of Shmuel. On the other hand, if there are multiple egresses to the shul, so now we can go to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that as long as the Sefer Torah has been taken out of the Aron, now you can leave the shul. Don't you have to wait for the Torah to exit the shul? Not necessarily, because you're going to go out one exit, and the Torah is going to go out another exit, and the kavod does not demand that you're going to be exiting through that you're going to have to wait until the Torah is taken out, because you're going to go out a different exit. Okay. And acharei Hashem alakechem teilechu, that's when there's one exit. So when there's one exit, so what do you do? So you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, again, the Gemara over here does not mean, we're not supposed to take the pasuk literally. The Gemara already made that point earlier in the Masechta when we quoted it earlier. It's just a remez. It's a good way for us to remember that when the Torah is exiting, so that's acharei Hashem alakechem teilechu. So you're going to follow that. So in other words, with that one exit now leaving the shul, so let the Torah go out first, and you're going to be basically escorting the Sefer Torah out, but behind the Torah, not in front of the Torah. Okay, good. That kind of takes us to the end of the various menhagim and halachas associated with the shuls that used to be out in the field. Okay, we're going back to Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so we digress for just a couple of moments. Yesterday's daf with the halachas regarding shuls and Sefer Torah, and their makeshift shuls that they had out in the field. And now we return fully back to the issue of Birchas Kohanim. B'zman shekohanim mevarchim esam, mahein omrim. So, when the Kohanim give a bracha, so what do the nations say? Now, it's a funny question because maybe the answer is they shouldn't be saying anything, meaning they're getting a bracha. And upon receiving a bracha, so maybe the correct response should be, I'm going to listen. They'll tell me the bracha, I'm going to listen. And meanwhile, as we're going to be seeing throughout now the next couple of minutes of Gemara, right, we're going to have a lot of real estate over here in our Gemara on this topic, is that there may be some appropriate responses and there may not be, right? Why am I being so ambiguous? Because as you're going to see, as we're all going to see together, the Gemara is going to be terribly ambiguous about this topic, about whether or not it's appropriate to say anything during Birchas Kohanim. So, we are going to be treated to a number of opinions. So, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Chista. So on a daily basis, when we're getting the Birchas Kohanim daily, and again, Sfardim understand the Gemara, we're going to struggle a little bit with this Gemara over here. But we already discussed it yesterday. Go back to yesterday's shir. Go back to the beginning of yesterday, where I cited. I actually quoted the Ramah in terms of the Minhag Ashkenaz. But anyway, so when you are duchening on a daily basis, so Baruch Hashem Alachav Gibori Kawach. So this is Psukim and Tehillim. This is Perek Kuf Gimel 103. Baruch Hu Hashem Melachav Gibori Kalach. Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav Mishar Savos Eretzono. And Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Masa B'chol Mekomos Mem Shalto Baruch Hinav Shiyas Hashem. Okay, so in other words, we're going to be saying three psukim, and obviously the correspondence is easy to see. They're saying three psukim. We're going to be responding by three psukim. So B'Musa D'Shabbos Ma'in Omrim. Now, what about Musaf on Shabbos? What do you do there? So, in other words, what do we have on Shabbos? It's called a brand new Birchas Kohanim, meaning brand new, meaning an additional Birchas Kohanim. In other words, in addition to the Shachris Birchas Kohanim, so now you have a Musaf Birchas Kohanim. So what do you do then? So Amar Rav Asi, Shir Amalos, Hinei Berchus Hashem, Kol Avdei Hashem. So now we are in Tehillim. This is Perkuf Lamed Dalet. And Su Yidechem, Kodesh Berchus Hashem. And now what we're going to do is we're going to jump one Perek ahead. This is Kuf Lamed Hei. And Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shechein Yerushalayim Haleluka. V'leim Anam Yivrechecha Hashem Mitzion Edichsi Ba'unyana. Now the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused, meaning on this selection of three psukim, why don't we stay in Kuf Lamed Daled? Meaning, why are we going two psukim in Kuf Lamed Daled, and then a pasuk, we're jumping a parak to Kuf Lamed Hey, why would we do that? And meanwhile, in Kuf Lamed Daled, there is another pasuk to say, so Amar Rav Yehuda Barei, Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, Mitoch Sheyischo Bebirchosav, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misayim Bebirchosav, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thematically, it's better. Because in the two psukim in Kuf Lamed Daled, we're benching Hashem. We're giving a bracha to Hashem. That's a little bit strange way to say it. Meaning, but we are praising the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the two psukim in Kuf Lamed Aleph. So we want to stay on theme, right? That third selection from Kuf Lamed Daled, that's Hashem giving us a bracha, meaning that's thematically not in line. That's why we jump ahead of Perek to Kuf Lamed Hey. That third pasuk is us benching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. B'mincha te ta'anisa. Now what about mincha on a fast day? So what are we going to do over there? The Gemara is assuming, and let's just speak this out so that I know we're all on the same page, but let me just say this out. The assumption is that we're going to be duchening daily, but specifically in the morning. Why not later in the day? Meaning we're going to be davening later in the day. Why don't we duchen later in the day? So the assumption is intoxication, right? I know that sounds funny, by the way. I'm suggesting daily intoxication. Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. So, but I'm not... Okay, right. I think everyone here understands, but again, just speak it out. In other words, Phil understands what I'm saying over here. In other words, accompanying every meal, you have a cup of wine. Of course, you have a cup of wine with every meal. Okay, this is not my recommendation. This is just simply that was a minute back in the day. In other words, you would have a meal, you'd have a cup of wine. The cup of meal came along with the meal. And so, what were you? You were over the limit. In other words, you're gonna do the avoda while having a cup of wine. You can't do the avoda. And if you can't do the avoda, meaning I'm speaking now to the kohanim, if you can't do the avoda, you can't duchen as well, right? Duchening is a function of the avoda. In fact, yesterday's daf and the day before, we made such a big deal of you, the kohen, better be up there by ritzei, because what's the bracha of ritzei? That's avoda. In other words, then there's obviously a relationship between benching the people and avoda. So duchening is a function of avoda. You can't do the avoda. Well, the word intoxicated is too strong a word, but under the influence. In other words, you had a cup of wine. You can't do the avoda, and therefore you can't duchen as well. So, on a standard day of davening, so shachar is already, you're not allowed to eat before davening. So there was no wine before davening. So obviously all the kohanim now are of clear mind in order to duchen. But once shachar is over, all bets are off. In other words, you're going to have a meal. I know it's what you and I call breakfast, but back in the day, whatever, it was more like brunch. And so all bets are off. In other words, they had a meal and they had a cup of wine. And so therefore they can't duchen anymore. And that's an assumption that we make. And so there's simply no duchening going on post-breakfast. I'm sorry, post-shacharis. Okay. And on Shabbos where there's musaf, no problem. Because musaf immediately follows shacharis. So just like we assume that there was no consumption and no imbibing before shacharis, same thing by musaf as well. So on a standard day, so once you get to mincha already, so we are going to be assuming that the kohanim are going to be over the limit in terms of the alcohol intake, and therefore they're not going to be duchening. But what about now on a fast day? Now you understand on a fast day, so there's no concern of inebriation, nobody's eating, and so therefore the kohanim are going to be duchening during mincha. And now what psukim are going to be accompanying the duchening of mincha on a fast day? I know that was a lot of setup, but hopefully that was helpful. So, b'mincha de ta'anisa. So, my amri amr avachar bar Yaakov, im avanenu anu vanu Hashem osei laman shemecha. Mikve yisra moshenu, be'is tzara lama sichya ki gera ba'aretz, lama siya ki ish nidham, ki gibor lo yuchal lahushia. A selection of psukim from Yirmiyahu. And then, b'ni'ila di yuma di kippur my amr. Now, what about ni'ila yom kippur? Right, everyone here see the theme of the Gemara, meaning we're introducing now a new davening, and with every new davening, we can't use the old psukim. There's no such thing as old psukim, but you know what I mean. In other words, we can't recycle psukim for a new davening. There has to be new psukim that are more thematically connected to that particular davening. So now we're talking about Ni'ilah of Yom Kippur. Now Tosfos over here already points out Ni'ilah is not limited to Yom Kippur, meaning on all public fast days there was Ni'ilah. So why the Gemara over here speaks specifically to Yom Kippur as opposed to just your standard Ni'ilah? Probably the Tosfos on the top is bothered by that. But probably because the Ni'ilah of Yom Kippur is the one that we're most used to. Anyway, so Ni'ilah diyoma di Kippur in my Amar, Amar of Zutra v'Amri la b'mesisatana, hine ki kein yivorach gever, yirei Hashem yivorachach Hashem itzion, arei betuv Yerushalayim, kol yimei chayecha, arei vanim levanecha shalma Yisrael. So that's Tehillim, and that's Kuf Chav Ches. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us through a whole assortment of psukim that are appropriate to say during Birchas Kohanim. So, we have just covered now.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Regarding Korban Tami, that's actually done in the afternoon. But if they're intoxicated, how can they do the Korban?
Yeah, so in the Beis HaMikdash, just in case, Hedy's asking, let me just repeat the question. Hedy's asking, if we're worried about daily inebriation, so how do you do the avodah in the afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash? So my off-the-cuff answer, my unprepared answer is that those are mishmaros, meaning those are kohanim specifically prepared to do the avodah, right? Remember, there's a rotation and so fine. So in other words, when you're part of the mishmar and you know you're doing the avodah, obviously as such, you're going to be prepared to not drink and therefore do the avodah in the afternoon. But since duchening is done by the entire kohen population on a daily basis, so we can't. In other words, it's too much to legislate not to drink on a daily basis for all Kohanim. That's my best guess, and it sounds like a good answer. It sounds like it works. Okay. We are on the very top of Mem Amud Aleph. We have just spent a good amount of time in the Gemara, right? A lot of real estate, almost a half an Amud, of going over the appropriate psukim that we should be saying during Duchening. Okay. When should we be saying these psukim? Exactly when? Gemara's very next question. So Heichan Amra. So Rav Yosef Amra being called Baruch Hu Bracha for Rav Sheshes Amra Bas Karas Hashem. So the Gemara brings down two deos in terms of when is the appropriate time to say these psukim, either between the brachas. Now between the brachas, okay, I've been at one or two duchenings in my lifetime. So where exactly is that pause? Where's that pregnant pause between the brachas that you should say the psukim? So perhaps because we don't say the psukim, right? Everyone here knows the punchline already, but because we don't say the psukim, so therefore there's no pause. And I would guess, but it's just a guess, I really don't know, but what I would guess is that back in the time, or when the minhag was to say these psukim, so therefore there would be an available pause in order so that you could say the psukim. But according to one opinion, Rav Yosef, it's being called bracha bracha. And according to Rav Sheshes, it's haskar sashem. In other words, in every one of the psukim, there's one Shem Hashem reference. Right, Yivarechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, and so too with the other two brachos. So there's Shem Hashem. So during Shem Hashem, that's the appropriate time to say the pasuk. Pligi bar Rav Mariv Rav Zid Chanam Rav Psuka Lakab Psuka v'Chanam Rav Kol Psuka Amrulu Lekulu. And again, another machlokas Amoraim in terms of how is the appropriate response to be done. Now the Birchas Kohanim is three psukim. That's a non-starter. That's a given. Now, how many psukim are there in response? Also three psukim. Meaning every time we went through Shachris, Musaf, right, Mincha on a fast day, Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. So every time we introduced a new duchening, so we introduced three new psukim. But how are we supposed to respond to these three psukim in relationship to the Birchas Kohanim? So one opinion is that it's very simple. For every pasuk the Kohen says, we say one of our three psukim. And we just simply match him. You say a pasuk, we say a pasuk. That's one opinion. And the second opinion of the Gemara is that no. After each one of the psukim of the Kohen, we say all three psukim. And so we're going to be repeating those three psukim three times. Fine. So, Am Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, V'chola Omram B'gvulim Eino Elatoa. Okay, now, everyone over here, everyone should be wondering, right? We don't say any of these psukim. Meaning, what a funny Gemara over here, where the Gemara is talking in real specifics about here should be the psukim that we say in response to the Birchas Kohanim, and meanwhile we don't say the psukim. So what? So why don't we say any of them? So the Gemara says. So we're going to have a couple of opinions over here. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba stated as kol ha'omrim begvulim einu ela toah. In other words, if you are going to be saying the psukim and not in the Beis HaMikdash, which is what we all do, meaning our Birchas Kohanim is done obviously outside the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, obviously, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So to say these psukim, eino ela toa. So that's a mistake. From Tosfos, Divra Maschel Kol, it sounds like not only is it a mistake, but it's an actual iser to say the Megvula, meaning that these psukim are not appropriate to be said, not more than not appropriate. They should not be said Megvulin, meaning what you and I do, right? I'm Rabbi China bar Papa Tedesh and Bemikdash Nami Lomi Baila Memrenu Klum Yeshlecha Evish and Mavarchan Oso Ve'ino Mazin. And Rabbi Chanina bar Papa says, I'm going to go further. And that is even in the Beis HaMikdash. It's just simply not appropriate to say the Pesukim. Meaning, what are we doing over here? We're listening to Birchas Kohanim. So, in other words, when you're listening, so obviously you should be listening. And what? And now we're going to be saying Pesukim while we're listening? So Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa basically argues with all of the above. Not all of the above, sorry. He doesn't argue with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. He's really adding to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. In other words, the appropriate position of the of Klal Yisrael when listening to Birchas Kohanim is they should be listening and only listening. And no response. And no Pesukim. Fine. Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Teda de Begvulam Nami Meibai Lememernu. And just to make us a little bit more confused, the Gemara is now going to bring a third opinion, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, and that is appropriate. Appropriate to say the response Pesukim all the time in the Beis HaMikdash, even Begvulin as well. And right, Klum Yeshev Shemavarchan Osovim Maz Berpanim, meaning when someone's giving you a bracha, so what you should do is you should be grateful, appreciative, right? Maz Berpanim is basically somebody gives you a compliment, you should say thank you. Right over here, not exactly the same, but somebody's giving you a bracha, so there should be a response. You should show appreciation. So Am Rabbi Abba Mireisha Av Aminalu came to Chazinu to Rabbi Abba de Menachem to Amarlu Ananamilu Aminalu. So Rabbi Abba says, so the Mireisha Av Aminalu. Originally, I used to say these psukim. In other words, again, so Rabbi Abba, like the rest of us, is confused. Meaning, should we or should we not say any kind of response psukim? So Rabbi Abba says, originally I did. However, then I saw Rabbi Abba de Minako, and he didn't say the response psukim. I now know that the proper minhag is not to respond with any psukim. Okay, good. So no response to Birchas Kohanim should be made. Okay, this is now an Ashkenaz talk. I think it's the same by you. I'm not sure, but in other words, in our sidurim. So when we have Birchas Kohanim, so the siddur does a good job trying to confuse us. And I'm not saying it to be sarcastic. Nor cynical, but it's true. In other words, right, you go through any standard Ashkenaz Siddur, right, doesn't matter if it's old school or if it's, you know, the newer versions. And what you're going to find is that by Birchas Kohanim, by every one of the words of Birchas Kohanim, so there's an accompanying pasuk alongside. And then, instructions are, look at the pasuk, but don't say it. Well, if we're not supposed to be responding to Birchas Kohanim, so why then in the Siddurim would you attach a pasuk to every word? Okay, so but in other words, this ambiguity that we just experienced, right? We have been on this topic now for over 20 minutes, a little bit less. We've been on this topic for a while in terms of whether or not it's appropriate to respond to Birchas Kohanim with any set of pesukim, yes or no. So the Gemara ends off with a real ambiguity. In fact, the ambiguity is so strong, Rabbi Abba changed his minhag over the course of his lifetime in terms of whether or not it's appropriate to respond or not to respond. So you're going to see that ambiguity continue to this very day. Anyway, it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that the best thing to do is listen and not respond. Obviously, at the end of each one of the brachas, write a response of amen. But short of that, though, it sounds like we should not be saying psukim. That seems to be the correct conclusion. Am Rabbi Abba. Okay, so from this point going forward, we're going to be treated to fantastic agadita, right? Stories about our gedolim, specifically that of Amoraim, specifically that of Rabbi Abahu. Am Rabbi Abahu Meresha Vamina in Vesana Ana. Rabbi Abahu says, I used to think I was really humble. Okay, now talk about the real definition of a humble brag. Okay, for those of you who've never heard the term before, it's a great expression. Right, the talk about a humble brag. If you're bragging about how humble you are, that is really the true definition of a humble brag. And so, but obviously we're talking about an Amora over here. So in other words, when he says that he's humble, it's in other words, these are gedolim. And he's saying it as a form of a sincere statement of, I try to be humble. Right? In other words, I understand if you're broadcasting that information to other people, so then it's a little bit strange to hear that. But at the same time, however, when people are sincerely interested in being humble and they're working on it and they're telling other people, yes, I'm trying to be humble. So in a chanami, in other words, that's obviously we're supposed to, the correct context, the correct tone over here is that he's really trying to be humble. And he thought he was humble, but then he really learned his lesson in terms of what humility means. Kevin de Chazino le Rabbi Abba de Menako. The Amar Yehu Chataima v'Amar Amari Chataima lo Kapid Amin Alav in Vesana Ana. But then I saw the practices of Rabbi Abba de Menako. And Rabbi Abba Menako, so he had Namora. Now remember back in the good old days, a human microphone, right? The Rebbe would be up there, he'd be saying Shir. But in other words, generally speaking, he was older. His voice wasn't as strong. So what he did is he turned to his Zamora, right? The Zamora over here would be basically his human microphone broadcasting the Shir to other people. Sometimes the Zamora went off script, okay? In other words, he's clearly giving the lines for the Zamora to say. And there were occasions, right? We saw it throughout the Gemara where the Zamora sometimes basically he ad-libs. And so his Zamora went off script all the time. And Rabbi Abba shrugged his shoulders and said, okay, no, perfect. Okay, who cares? And so, and when Rabbi Abba sees this practice of Rabbi Abba de Menako, where basically, right, my Amora now is not saying exactly what I told him to say. So for the rest of us, that would make us upset. So where Rabbi Abba Menako, shoulder shrug. Okay, no, what's the big deal? So he was a makbid. So now Rabbi Abbahu says, now I see what Anava is. Anava is basically, look, obviously Rabbi Abba de Menako took himself seriously. But when things went off script, literally when things went off script, he's like, okay, that's fine. That's Anava. My invenuse de Rabbi Abbahu, now as far as Rabbi Abbahu is concerned, so he said that he's an Anav. So the Gemara says, let's hear some stories about him being an Anav. So de Amrla de Vasau de Amari de Rabbi, the Rabbi Abahu, Lidivasau, the Rabbi Abahu, Hadi download Sarchle Liditcha, Vahidagachim, Vizakif Ale, so Yikaraba Amahuda Avile, Huda Avile. So the wives got together. So in other words, Rabbi Abahu, and so we're now having a conversation between his wife and the wife of the Rabbi Abahu's Amara, meaning Rabbi Abahu himself had his own Amara. So, the wife of the Amora, if you're following me carefully over here, I know it's a little bit complicated. So the wife of the Amora of Rabbi Abbahu said to the wife of Rabbi Abbahu, you know, I know my husband basically is just the human microphone of your husband, but the truth of the matter is that he doesn't, my husband doesn't need your husband. Meaning my husband really could give shir on his own. And he doesn't need somebody to feed him his lines. It just happens to be that he wants to give a little bit of extra honor to Rabbi Abbahu. But the truth of the matter is that my husband can do it without your husband's help. Okay. Now the wife of Rabbi Abbahu goes home and reports what was said over. Okay. And so, and Rabbi Abbahu, what does he do? So the Amr Leila Rabbi Abbahu. So, sorry. So Azl Divisayu Amr Leila Rabbi Abbahu Amr La, my nafkalach mina, mini umine, yiskale si la'a. So his response, Rabbi Abba's response is, who cares? Who cares? In other words, what's happening? In other words, let's take a look at what the goal is. The goal is that we say shir to the people. Mm-hmm. Are we saying shir to the people? The answer is yes. Good. Good. Check. He feels that he could really give shir without me. Who cares? In other words, that's not the goal. Okay, good. That's a fantastic lesson in Anivus. Vistu Rabbi Abba'o, imne rabbana alei lemimne bereshet. And now the Gemara gives us another story. And that is that Rabbi Abbahu now was the best candidate to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Good. And, came into Chaze, le Rabbi Abba de Menako, de Nefisha le Balichovos. But then Rabbi Abbahu turns to his friend, Rabbi Abba de Menako. We already saw that they had a very close relationship. And he sees that Rabbi Abba de Menako, so the truth of the matter is that financially he was struggling. And when you become Rosh Yeshiva, so what comes with it is, a good pay. So he says, Amar Lahu. So he tells the people, look, I don't know what you're thinking, but in other words, I'm not the best candidate. You want the best candidate for the job? Take Rabbi Abba de Menako. He's the best candidate. Ika Rabba. There's somebody greater than me, so notably Rabbi Abba de Menako. So make him the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, the truth of the matter is Rabbi Abbahu did that so that Rabbi Abba de Menako would not struggle financially. But again, though, another clear demonstration of the aniva, of his anivas. We continue. Rabbi Abbahu and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba ikla lahu asra. Rabbi Abbahu and Rabbi Chiya go to a town. Rabbi Abbahu darsh bagarat to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba darsh b'shmaita. Okay. This is probably a very famous Gemara, but regardless, we have our two Amoraim now in our context of today's daf. Rabbi Abbahu, we heard a lot in today regarding Rabbi Abbahu. He goes to a particular town. And he's saying shir. Now he happens to be saying shir in Medrash and Agadata, and also in the town is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and he's giving shir in Halacha. Okay, which one's the more popular shir? We all know the answer, but the Gemara here spells it out. Shavku kuli amal Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba va'azal agabi de Rabbi Abahu. So everyone's now going to shir Rabbi Abba because he's saying things which are stories, and whatever. In other words, Agadata. It's just easier listening. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, so he was despondent, dejected. So chalosh daite, he had a chalish of sadas, because nobody was coming to his shir. Okay. So amar le em shalach hamashal lamahad avadama. So what Rabbi Abba tried to do is he tried to cheer him up. I know everyone's coming to my shir. I know my shir is a more popular shir. I recognize that. But if I can, let me just help you see this correctly. And that is, I'll give you a mashal. So lamad avadam l'shnei b'nei adam, echad mocher avanim tovos v'echad mocher minei sitkes, ami kovtzin. So lo alzer shemocher minei sitkes. So you have somebody who's selling precious precious jewels, and you have somebody who's selling tchotchkes. Right, Rashi says over here, various tools to help people sew and stitch and whatever, right, the dollar store, if you will. And which one's more popular? Right, I always wonder that dollar stores, they're everywhere. Like, and how are those places so popular? Because it's easy. You go in there, you make easy purchases, right? The things that you think you need, whatever the case is. In other words, it's popular. And so over here is somebody selling precious jewels, somebody selling tchotchkes. So people are going to go to the seller of tchotchkes. It's just, they're easier to purchase. Okay. It's more fun. So people are coming to my shir. People are not coming to your shir, but you're the jewels. You're the precious jewels. So kol yuma hava malav Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba l'Rabbi Abba ad ushpize. Now every day Rabbi Chiya would accompany Rabbi Abba until his lodging, until his hotel. Mishim yikar de be kesar. Now it happened to be that the Rabbi Abba was related to the kesar, and so therefore Rabbi Abba not only had clout in terms of his ability to give Torah and deliver shir, but also he was, you know, he had clout in terms of who he was related to. So how yuma. But on that day where Rabbi Chiya was suffering from Chalisha's Das, right, realizing that his shir was not the popular shir, so Avi, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chiya, Braba, Adush Bize. So Rabbi Abba escorted Rabbi Chiya home. In other words, okay, Rabbi Abba really tried to make Rabbi Chiya feel better over the fact that, you know, now Rabbi Abba basically took all the people and lured them over to his shir, and nobody went to Rabbi Chiya's shir. Ve'afilu hachilo isusiv daite minei. But Rabbi Chiya, as far as he was concerned, he kept holding a grudge. Okay, now I know, you know, shouldn't be holding a grudge, right? Well, we know that. In fact, you can even say it's in the Torah of Lo Sikim Vlo Sitor. Although, to be fair, the Gemara does say that when you're a Talmid Chacham, so certain things you shouldn't let slide. So, okay, fine. So, that in of itself deserves its own attention. I'm just noting that, we should all let things go and we shouldn't be holding a grudge. But the Gemara over here, real Gemara, real people, and so Rabbi Chiya still was slighted by the fact that that Rabbi Abba was a popular shir. Okay, bizman shesher chzibur amar modim ha'am mahin omerim. Okay, we are now starting at a wide line on Mem Amud Aleph. I know it widened twice, but we're at that first widening of the line. We are now moving on to a new topic. Now it is related, because if you remember, what do we say? We were by Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is coming when? At the end of the Bracha of Modim, right? Second to last Bracha of Shemone Esrei. So that's when Duchening is coming. And we already know that they should make their way up there by Ritzei. At least start going up there by Ritzei. So now we're in the area of Shemone Esrei, of the Brachas of Ritzei and Modim. And new, what do we know? That when the Shlich Sibra says Modim, we too should say Modim as well. What should our nusach sound like? Okay, so the answer is very simple. Open up a siddur, and you'll see exactly what the nusach is. But the siddur didn't manufacture that nusach. That nusach came from somewhere. So over here, one of the few places in Shas where we're going to see a nusach ha-tfila, right? What is a nusach ha-tfila? The answer is that it is, you're going to find in the siddur. In the Gemara, you're going to find the nusach of tfila? No. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin, takes us basically through the outline of Shemoneh Esrei. this bracha is going to come before this bracha, this bracha before this bracha, but it doesn't give us the actual nusach of davening, right? That was understood already. There already was a nusach. Who, by the way, came up with the nusach of davening? I'm talking right now about Shmoneh Esrei. Who instituted the nusach of tefillah? Anshei Knesset Gedolah, already by the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So there was a fixed nusach of davening. Okay. And obviously, over the course of years, now we are more than 2,500 years. Well, about thereabouts. 2,500 years since Anshei Knesset Gedolah have put together, formulated the nusach of tefillah. So obviously, there have been now multiple variations. I'm sitting in a room right now. Ashkenazim, Sfarim together beautifully. Mm-hmm. And then so there are various nuschaos of what that looks like nowadays, but structurally it's all the same. Outline wise, it's all the same. And so the Gemara doesn't give us the actual nusach itself. And on occasion, like right now, for example, so we're going to see an actual nusach of tefillah. So what should we be saying when the Sheikh Sibra says modim? Great question. The Gemara is going to answer. Bismasha Sheikh Sibra, I'm a modim, omrim. So Amarav, so I'm not going to translate right now. Please forgive me, but I'm just going to go over the nusach. So Amarav, modim anachnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu al shanu modim lach. Shmuel amar lokei kol basar al shanu modim lach. Rabbi Simai amar yotzen yotzer breishis al shanu modim lach. Nardai amar mishmei de Rabbi Simai brachos vaados l'shimcha hagadol al shechi yisanu v'ki amtanu al shanu modim lach. Rav Acher bar Yaakov misayim bahachi kein. Please forgive me if you're not translating. Anyway, I'm sure you can open up an art scroll, see a beautiful translation. Anyway, so there are various amarim in terms of what should be the proper response. So Amra Papa Hilkach Nimrim Lakulu. And this we're used to. We hear this multiple times throughout Shas, and that is that when there are multiple opinions of what the right nusach should be, Rav Papa says, you know what we should do? We should collect and we should say them all. Hilkach nimrenu lekulu. Right? Sometimes you're going to hear Rav Papa say, Hilkach nimrenu letarvayu. We should say both. Because usually what he does is he synthesizes two different opinions. Over here, it's a lot more than two opinions. There are multiple opinions over here. So what he's arguing is that take all these opinions and synthesize all the opinions. And our nusach of modim, right? What do we call it, by the way? We call it modim derabanan. Right, rabbinic modim. Now you understand, by the way, you know why it's called modim de rabbanan, because it's a collection of opinions of various amarayim in terms of what we should say. Hence the term modim de rabbanan. Okay. That in of itself, by the way, worth the price of admission in today's daf. So that's what we should say. So the avudraham, which I rarely quote, but in other words, in the context of a daf yomi, right? Usually I quote the Gemara and I quote Rashi. Right, but the Avudraham over here says why by all the other brachas of Shmoneh Esrei do we just simply answer Amen and good, and then when it gets to Modim, the Gemara assumes in other words, if the Sheikh Sibra is saying Modim, we have to say Modim, right? We have to say our own version of Modim. Like, why can't we just simply say Amen like we do by every other bracha Shmoneh Esrei? So the Avudraham says it's because when we're saying Modim, so we're thanking, and so what are you going to do now? I'd like to appoint you to thank Hashem. In other words, when you're showing gratitude and you're showing hoda'ah, everybody has to express hoda'ah. You cannot go ahead and deputize somebody else to go ahead and to thank. That's the avudraham. That's the assumption going into our Gemara in terms of why it is that we necessarily have to say a version of modim. Okay, a couple more points over here as we're rounding down to the end of today's daf. And that is that kavod tzibur. In other words, you have a community, and you have to show a certain amount of respect to the tzibur. How do I know that? The Gemara is going to give a couple of proofs. So number one, so sharei kohanim p'neim kapei am v'acharim kapei shchina. Just look at the posture of the kohanim during duchening. Here's what happens: all the kohanim move to the front of the shul, and now what are they going to do? They're going to turn their back to the aron in order to face the people. Strange, right? In other words, kavod tzibur. Now it is a funny proof, by the way, because we learned already that part of the requirements of duchening is panim keneged panim. It's got to be face to face. I guess the proof over here of the Gemara is that maybe they can move to another area in the shul. Meaning, do they have to go to the front of the shul? Maybe they can go to the side of the shul. Okay, anyway, So proof number one that you have to have coveted tzibur is that the Kohanim are moving to the front of the shul, and meanwhile, turning to face the people, backs to the Aron. Okay. But meanwhile, because of coveted tzibur. Another proof. Rav Nachman Amar, Mehachav, Yekam David Melch, Al-Raglav, Yomar Shemuni, Achiv, Ami. So, when David is addressing the people, now he's a king, and he calls the people, Achiv, Ami, my brother. So, Imachai, so Lama, Ami. Now, what are they? Are you my brothers? Or are you my people? And the answer, of course, is yes. Yes, both. So, the Amr of Rama of Rabbi Lazar, Amr Lam Davli, Soim Atem Shomim Li Achai Atem. Vim Lav Ami Atem. So, Vani Rodez Chembe Makel. Look, the story goes like this. In other words, if you're going to listen to me and there's going to be full compliance, and in other words, so good. So then you're my brothers. But if not, I mean, then you're going to be my nation. In other words, I'm going to rule over you with a stick. Okay. But the fact that the king calls the people his brothers achai, so that's covered at Sibor. Rabbanan Amre Mehachain according to Rishayim La'alos Besandalein L'Duchan. So v'zeu achas miteisha takanoshit gan Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah at the end of the Masechta goes over the 9 takanos of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Most of them have to do with the fact that we are now absent a Beis HaMikdash, right? He lived during the end of the destruction of Beis Sheni, and a number of the takanas that he made was a response to the fact that we no longer have a second Beis HaMikdash. Fine. But one of the takanas is that when you're a Kohen, what do? So you're going to go up there, in Duchen, you're going to do so without your shoes. Now, oddly enough, interestingly enough, why? He didn't say. So it's a real curiosity, meaning, I know the Gemara in just a moment is going to offer a couple of suggestions of why that is, but when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that Kohanim to take off the shoes before duchening, so he doesn't give the reason why. If you look in the other takanas that he made, so he explains why. Over here, why doesn't he give the explanation? I myself am curious. Anyway, but the Gemara over here now, in the absence of him giving an explanation, so the Gemara over here now speculates. So my time, Alam Yishim Kavadat Sibur. So the Gemara says there must be an issue of Kavadat Sibur. Now, I'm going to explain it the way Rashi explains it, and that is as follows. What's happening over here? So if you could picture the scene, Cohen now is going to go up and he's about to give everybody a bracha. So remember already now what he's going to do is he's going to raise his arms. Now this is a visual demonstration over here, so if you're just listening, my apologies, but he's going to raise his arms. Now, back in the day, their dress was not the way you and I dress, right? Shirt, pants, like that's modern.
Tunics.
Right. So they used to wear tunics. So now when you're wearing a tunic and you're raising your arm, so if you can imagine now, it's not that hard. So what's going to happen now is that the your hem of your tunic is going to go up. And what are people going to be able to see now? Their feet. Okay. For the first time ever, their feet. Now, if they're wearing shoes, so now what are you going to see? You're not going to see their feet. They're going to see shoes. Now, their shoes are filled with mud. And it's just not respectful. In other words, obviously, the shoes, they've been walking around outside all this time, and their shoes are filled with mud. It's simply not respectful. So what they should do now, because there's going to be foot exposure while they're duchening, so what they should do is they should take off their shoes because their shoes are so muddy, and therefore, out of a way of honoring the tzibur, so that's the reason why Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai went and instituted that no shoes should be worn. It was a function of kavodat tzibur. That's what the Gemara is proposing over here. Okay. Anyway, let's leave it at that because the Gemara doesn't like that. Amar Rav Ashi lo. Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the reason why. So, hasam shem nifsik ala ritzua besandala vahadar azal amikterei. Amri ben Grusha ben Chalutzahu. No. The reason why of the institution Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai has nothing to do with kavodat tzibur, meaning not, and there is such a thing as kavodat tzibur, but that's not what is governing this particular takana. This takana is governed by the fact that what's going to happen. You're going to go up there and you're going to duchen, but wait 1 second, right? Your shoe strap came off, right? Sometimes people remind me, hey, your shoes are untied. Okay. Sometimes it happens and sometimes it's by design. Either way. But they're gonna now have to take the time, right? Back in the good old days, tying your shoes was not a quick, 15 second fix. Back in the good old days, it required a process to go ahead and to retie your shoes. And what's gonna now happen is that you're gonna be missing duchening if you're gonna have to retie your shoes. So you know what? Best thing to do? Take off your shoes. Don't worry about the straps. And that way no one's going to be missing duchening. Because what happens when you miss duchening? If you're a Kohen, you're missing duchening, people are going to say, wow, that's so weird. That's so strange. In other words, shouldn't you be up there? Shouldn't you be duchening? And you're not duchening? Ah, ben grusha, ben chalutza. Maybe he's a Kohen, but he's a halal. Okay. Adkan. Okay, we are now ready to turn the page from Mem Amud Aleph to Mem Amud Beis. Over Mikdash Bracha Achas. Now, what do we know? That there's differences between Duchening in the Beis HaMikdash versus Duchening outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, so it was Bracha Achas. What does that mean, one Bracha? There was no interruption between the three Psukim. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, Ya'er, etc., etc., etc. So there was no interruption. Outside, it gets interrupted with an Amen after each of the Psukim. The Gemara over here on the top of the Amud Beis explains why. Lefi Sheina Onim V'chol Kach Lama. Sorry, skip the first three words. Let's not skip. Kol Kach Lama Lefi Sheina Onim Amen B'Mikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't answer Amen. And so therefore, what's going to happen over here is that the brachas are going to be said uninterrupted. The Gemara explains. Tana Rabbanan. This Gemara should sound familiar. We hear this Gemara a couple times throughout Shas, more than a couple. So, Amen is not appropriate to be said in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Shenemar, and how do I know that? Because of a Pasuk. So, where can I find the Pasuk? So, you're going to find it in Sefer Ezra. The truth of the matter is, we call it Nehemiah, but what we did this a couple times, meaning as far as Sefer Tanakh are concerned, there's only one Shmuel, there's only one Malachim, but you know, they're really big, so we broke it up. Right, Shmuel Alf, Shmuel Beis. And by the way, when I say we broke it up, I have a particularly good feeling that it wasn't us. Okay, but it doesn't matter. In other words, they're broken up. But as far as Sifrei Tanakh are concerned, Shmuel's a sefer, Malachim is one sefer, and Ezra is one sefer. But again, what we did is we broke it up into Ezra and Nehemiah. But if you're talking about the 24 books of Tanakh, it's Ezra, not Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, anyway. So this pasuk is found in Nehemiah Shenemar. So, and Rashi, I don't know why, but consistently in this perek, Rashi keeps saying, oh, you're going to find it in Ezra, you're going to find it in Ezra. My curiosity, by the way, is not that he doesn't call it Nehemiah, meaning Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer. I'm just curious, like, why Rashi doesn't do that every time. When we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Rashi doesn't say, hey, that's in Yeshayahu. But when something is found in Ezra, Rashi keeps reminding us. It happens multiple times in this perek. Where Rashi keeps reminding us, hey, open up Sefer Ezra. As if we're like lost. We don't know where to go. Okay. So, Shenemar, Kuma Baruch Hu Hashem Elokecha min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So from this pasuk in Nehemiah, so obviously they contextually, this bracha is given in the Beis HaMikdash, right? See the psukim over there. And no response of Amen. Aminayin shel kol bracha bracha. So, Tehillah. In other words, we don't answer Amen, but we do praise. We say Baruch Shem Kavod Machuzo Leolam Vaed Shenemar VeYevarchu Shem Kavodecha Omeromam Al Kol Bracha UTehila Al Kol Bracha Bracha Tainlo Tehila. So we don't say Amen, but rather what we do is that we just simply say Tehila. Okay, and Tosfos over here is terribly bothered. Meaning, what comes out now? What comes out over here is that in the Beis HaMikdash, the appropriate response to a bracha is not Amen. Okay, fine. Rather, you say, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuzo Leolam Vaed. So Tosfos over here asks a really simple question. Isn't that called the Hefsek? Meaning, outside the Beis HaMikdash where we answer Amen. Ah, so there's the three different brachas. Yivrecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, we say Amen. Okay, call that one. Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'chuneka, we say Amen. Okay, call that two. Right, et cetera, et cetera. In the Beis HaMikdash, we don't say Amen. Why? Because it's not appropriate. What is appropriate in the Beis HaMikdash? Baruch Shem Kavod Machuzo Leolam Vaed. Great. Okay, that's a hefsek. And meanwhile,
In what sense is it a hefsek? I mean, what are we doing that is hefsek?
So in other words, right? So Tosfos says, in the question of Tosfos, Tosfos assumes that we that after each one of the psukim, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Machuzo Leolam Vaed.
I know, but is it, well, what we're saying is sort of like a confirmation, but why is that?
Ultimately, what you're going to have to say, Tosfos says something along these lines. That basically, what you're saying, that Baruch Shem Kavod Machuzo Leolam Vaed is not considered a pause. In other words, it's not considered like a stop point in the psukim. In other words, we're hearing Shem Hashem, and we're just simply praising the Shem Hashem that we just heard, which in the Beis HaMikdash, that's appropriate. Baruch Shem Kavam Achzor Olam Ve'ed. In other words, you're going to have to somehow figure out to say that's not considered a hefsek. Amen is a hefsek, but the Baruch Shem is just considered one continuum. You'll see something along those lines. Okay, what do we want to do now? Okay, I'll stop. Tomorrow I'll start fresh with the Mishnah. Okay, Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be also giving a bracha on Yom Kippur. We'll the new topic, we'll start it tomorrow. Okay, not the best stopping point, but a good stopping point. Okay, good. Let's pause over here. Let's just wrap up what we did today. We started all the way back on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and what did we do? So we covered a couple of halachas regarding shuls, making your exit strategy from shul, and meanwhile waiting for the Sefer Torah to leave. Okay. And I know that sounds strange, but again, back in the day, the shuls were out in the field, and so you had this makeshift shul out in the field, and the Sefer Torah would make its exit from the shul. Make sure that you go after the Sefer Torah. But again, if there are two exits, so then you can leave before the Sefer Torah, but you have to make sure Sefer Torah is taken out of the teva. Anyway, so the specific halachas to a time of days gone by. Okay, then a lot of time devoted this morning to, is there appropriate psukim that we should be saying during Birchas Kohanim? The answer is yes and no and maybe. Okay, but a lot of time in today's daf dedicated to this topic in terms of should there be any kind of psukim response by the people, why, while there's Birchas Kohanim. Rabbi Abahu, stories about Rabbi Abahu. On Mem Amad Aleph, we went through a number of stories about Rabbi Abahu. He was all the Amoraim are special, but he was particularly special. He had anivus. He worked on his anivus. He compared his anivus to others' anivus. Right? He noted that another Amora had more anivus than he did. But anyway, we got treated to stories about Rabbi Abahu, and that took us well into the end of Amad Aleph. You should have Amos at Tzibor, right? A certain amount of awe and reverence to the Tzibor. In other words, there's a community behind you, right? We're talking to the Kohanim, we're talking to the Rav, and a certain amount of coveted Tzibor needs to be had. How do I know that? The Gemara gives a number of proofs into this idea of coveted Tzibor. And finally, the last thing that we covered today is this idea that that in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't answer Amen. It's not appropriate to answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, when you hear Shem Hashem, you say Baruch Shem Kavam Achzol Olam Ve'ed. But that doesn't break up Birchas Kohanim, and therefore, Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash is one continuum. On the other hand, outside the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is what we're all used to, so Birchas Kohanim is going to be broken up with Amen.